We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Time to wake up. It's 5, and we're live.
Oh, is this thing on? I don't care. I want him to hear.
This is the pregame show, your early morning shot of sports on 95.7. The Game.
Come on!
You know, I wonder how much money Patrick Mahomes made over the weekend. And I'm not talking from the American Century Championship. That was all for charity, of course. But I'm just talking in general. It has my mind racing every single day. Just wondering what Patrick Mahomes is getting paid on a day-to-day basis with that contract. Still crazy. Still hasn't changed. Still set to make $450 million. But yeah, I don't know why. Every single day that I get on the air, I just get reminded about how much we talked about Patrick Mahomes, and I'm realizing he's getting paid $8.60 pretty much every hour, or excuse me, every minute. Anyway, good morning, everyone. Stephen Lightford did all the pregame show, 95.7 The Game. Coming up a little later on in the show today, I kind of just wanted to get through everything that happened over the weekend. We got some interesting comments from a Buccaneers left tackle in Donovan Smith, something that I want to get to and talking about just the NFL and their reactions to everything surrounding the pandemic. I wanted, and I'm interested to know from you at 888-957-9570. We have seen in the NBA and MLB that everyone is generally okay if you do take the time off. We got Buster Posey, who is opting out of the season, and I do want to play some more sound from that day on Friday, because I haven't really had any chance to express my thoughts on it except for when I was on with JD on Saturday from 10 to 2, but I do want to get to the Posey conversation as well. But I do want to know if the National Football League and their fans would react the same way to players if they decided to opt out of their 2020 season. Because football fans are different. They just are than any other fan base. Okay? They're very, very proud. And this guy, left tackle, Buccaneers left tackle, Donovan Smith. Let's think about who he's the left tackle for. All right? He's protecting the blind side of Tom Brady. That might be one of the most important positions in sports solely for the fact that the NFL wants to protect Tom Brady at all costs. Now, this dude has a bunch of concerns, and he wrote an Instagram post about it. So I'm just wondering if NFL fans, as well as the NFL, would react the same way. 888-957-9570. You could weigh in on the Chilton Auto Body text line. Jay Williams, ESPN NBA analyst, he had a Twitter video, and he essentially just called out any of the NBA players for acting spoiled during this time. So we'll get to that sound as well. It's a couple of minutes long, and we'll get to that towards the end of this segment here. But I did just want to start off talking about UFC 251. with Jorge Masvidal versus Kamaru Usman. Kamaru Usman came out the victor, still champ. And I saw my first reaction, or at least when seeing it on Twitter, was that was a boring fight. Man, that was a boring fight. Now, I know the fights that we had beforehand, we had Max Holloway versus Alexander Volkanovski, where there was already a controversial call there. Max Holloway probably could have got it right. Jose Aldo going up against Petr Yan, and Yan was not necessarily dominating the entire fight, but he was giving Jose Aldo his licks, and then at the end, when he was hammer-fisting him in the ground, the ref didn't call it. So there was some controversy to happen in the two previous fights. Then Thug Rose won. which was a great fight as well. But the one with Masvidal and Usman, it's interesting every single time there's a fight like that, where there's one guy who clearly has a plan against the other guy, when the other guy, like Jorge Masvidal, is just a firecracker, can just knock you out at any time, and he's gonna go for that knockout shot. But Kamaru Usman was going for that technical stuff, and he was, you know, putting him in the clinch for a majority of the fight, kind of just trying to keep him at bay. And I always find it interesting whenever we say that's a boring fight. Now, I'm not going to act like I'm some MMA aficionado, but I've watched enough UFC to understand the difference between a good fight and a bad fight. That was not a bad fight. Usman had a plan, and he happened to execute the plan. It's like when I tried coming up with a football comparison, or rather a NBA comparison, a basketball comparison, but I couldn't really come up with one. But it's like when in baseball there's a pitcher's duel. And in this pitcher's duel, you're kind of bored watching it. You might appreciate it, the traditionalists mostly do, but if you're just a casual baseball fan and you're not watching a single guy get a hit, you might watch a single every other inning, so, you know, it's three hits to two hits or whatever, and that's what it is going into the eighth inning. You might watch a pitcher's duel, and casual baseball fans will just think, man, that was boring. I mean, I get it, but that was really boring. It's kind of the same with the UFC. Whenever there's a fight like that where there's one guy who clearly had some sort of plan going into it, and his plan was just to keep Masvidal in the clinch, not let him try and do anything, stomp his toes into submission. What was Usman doing there? My God. Feel bad for... I mean, those things... I don't feel as bad for anybody right now as I do for Jorge Masvidal's toes. I was feeling the pain whenever I was watching that. But it always gets me whenever there's a lot of people who say, oh, it was a bad fight. It was a bad fight. It wasn't necessarily a bad fight. It's just things are a little more technical when it comes to MMA sometimes, instead of just straight up stand up boxing matches. I personally enjoyed it. I don't know about you. Fight Island seemed to be a success. Dana White continues to pull things off. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to have this same reaction to other sports when they don't have any fans, but I am thoroughly enjoying these UFC fights without any fans. Formula One's a little different. I watched Formula One over the weekend. They were still in Austria, and the thing with the no fans at the end, when it's just awkward. This time, who'd you have? You had Lewis Hamilton at number one on the podium. You had Valtteri Bottas at number two. You had Max Verstappen at number three. And you just got these awkward moments where they're supposed to be up on a big stage. You got thousands of people around you. You're supposed to be waving to the crowd, waving to your fellow countrymen, whoever came out to support you. And instead, you just got nothing. You got... a big champagne bottle, slightly. They brought out the trophies, by the way, in this Formula One thing on a robot, which was the strangest thing. You had a guy who pushed what looked like, you know, when in movies, they hide, like, they hide under the tablecloth when they're trying to get through, like, a restaurant or something. And there's someone who hides under a tablecloth and they kind of roll across the restaurant without anyone trying to without anyone noticing them. It was kind of like that. There was a big, it's hard to explain, but it was a big box with the words DHL or with the letters DHL on it. And they just handed out the trophies that way. But I still think that with fans, Formula One, I really just started watching it, is a great deal better. But with UFC, you could hear everything. The cam that they go to when they're going on when they're going to the people in the corner, and you could actually hear what they're saying. And then when, you know, obviously when the round is over and they go and talk to their own fighters in the corner, you could hear what they're saying too. I mean, I don't know how it is for the fighters. I'm sure it's different, but as a viewer just sitting watching from my couch, it gives me a little more appreciation for the pain that they take, because you can really hear the thumps and the smacks and whatever type of sound that you hear when a big hit goes. So I personally have been enjoying it. And one thing that I saw that was interesting to come out of the weekend too was a proposal, or not really a proposal. It was more of just an NFL analyst on Twitter. I can't remember his name. I wish I could give him the credit. But this NFL analyst, he was on, I forgot who he was on with, but he had a tweet and essentially said, look, if the UFC could do this in Abu Dhabi and they could travel there, the NFL is trying to create a contingent over there in New Zealand. If for some reason, and we know this pandemic is a week by week thing, if for any reason at all the NFL season just has to get canceled, it's an obligatory cancellation. They have to do it just because cases are spiking too much, not enough, whatever. They could possibly do something in New Zealand with the NFL. And I thought about that proposal and I was like, I mean, it's outlandish, but if we can't have some sort of NFL season here in America, I honestly believe that they could get something done in another country. Now, on a different continent. Now, it would take a lot of time to plan out. And, you know, the Orlando bubble, for what it's worth, it was taken in, you know, everything that happened surrounding it, it took, you know, a long time to get going. You know, it took about a month of negotiations, then the planning and everything sorted out there. But, I mean, this is sports. This is the NFL. I genuinely think that they can at least do something in the way of, if the season gets canceled in America, possibly have it somewhere else. And New Zealand is just a start. So Steph Curry was playing in the American Century Championship up in Lake Tahoe. And they had a TV special, NBC Sports did, talking about race and sports in America. The panel included Steph Curry, Charles Barkley, I can't remember a couple of the other guys that were on there, but famous athletes. And, you know, they were just talking about the impact of race in sports in America. And I just wanted to play a snippet of something for you from Steph. Now, excuse the music in the background. I didn't the music is not controlled. That's from NBC Sports. But Steph had a pretty good message about racial inequality. We'll go to break after that. We'll listen to what Jay Williams has to say. Are NBA players acting spoiled? I mean, are they? Because Jay Williams had some interesting thoughts on it, and I'd like to get to that next, because I do happen to agree with everything that he's saying. But here's Steph Curry talking about his message and his message on racial inequality in America.
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Good morning, everyone. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show. Hope you had a terrific weekend. And hopefully by, Friday at 5 p.m., you got your top 10 athletes in Bay Area sports list on 957thegame.radio.com. Hopefully you submitted it, because all week this week, we are going to be revealing the top 10. That's going to be at 8:30 and 3:30 every single day. So today, starting at 8:30, we're going to reveal number 10 on the list of top 10 Bay Area athletes. And this is one that you have voted on, and these are going to be your list. This is going to be the definitive one. Yeah, us hosts, we can come up with a top 10 list all we want, and we can come up with as many as possible, but really, in the end, depends on the fan majority and what they think. And who better to know than all the fans who are here from the Bay Area? And I do wonder if there are going to be any Sharks on there, if there's a big Sharks contingency who feel that maybe a guy like Joe Thornton or Joe Pavelski or Patrick Marleau should have gotten on the list. Maybe any of those who thought Joey Chestnut should have gotten on the list. We did, as far as guys who were quote unquote snubbed from the lists of the top 10 in the Bay Area, I'd say Joey Chestnut was one who we called for the most. Maybe it's because he was able to put his athletics on display earlier this July. So he was kind of recency bias sort of thing. And yeah, he was in everyone's minds, but very curious to see who number 10 is on this list. And also want to see if Kevin Durant makes it. I do, because I think he deserves to be on there. He's one of the best players that we've seen in the history of the NBA, regardless of what you think. He is one of the best players that we've seen in NBA history. Came to the Bay Area, won two championships with the Bay Area. And, you know, if that scuffle with Draymond didn't happen in 2016 where Draymond got mad at him, I mean, who knows what could have happened? There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of there's a lot of changes that could have been made as far as a lasting impact is concerned. But I think Kevin Durant could deserve to be on there. I think Joey Chestnut could. I think any Sharks could. Very curious. So that's coming up today at 8:30 with Joe Lo and Dibs, number 10. Jay Williams, you know him as an NBA analyst on ESPN. You mostly see him on Get Up, First Take, and then, of course, doing things pre- and post-game during the NBA season. But Jay Williams, he shared his thoughts on a Twitter video about the players in the NBA bubble. We just saw J.R. Smith get banned from his Instagram Live because the NBA doesn't want him to reveal anything. What does the NBA want to keep secret there? I do not know. I don't know what he could reveal, what other stuff he could reveal from a hotel room. You got J.J. Redick and Myers Leonard doing shotgun beer challenges on Instagram, but they had to, at least they had to ban J.R. Smith from it. Whew. But Jay Williams shared his thoughts on the bubble and the way that the NBA players are reacting to it. Take a listen to Jay Williams. This is from his Twitter account.
NBA players cannot be tone deaf. My NBA brothers, you cannot be tone deaf right now in this current environment. We all know the life that NBA players live. You are blessed. You get a chance to be in private planes. You get a chance to have millions of dollars in your bank account. You live a different level of life. But that is drastically different than what real, everyday working Americans are going through right now. Now, you're in a billion-dollar bubble. If you want to complain about the anxieties you have from COVID-related issues, I get it. Complain about that. We all have the right to complain about that. But when I hear NBA guys complaining about living facilities, food that they have being delivered to them, it is tone deaf. It is tone deaf. I want you to think about people who are everyday working people who are making minimum wage, trying to make ends meet, that are going to factories, that are going to really harsh working environments, where if anything, maybe their employers are doing less to ensure their safety because they're trying to increase the bottom line. They're trying to earn and make money back from all the money that they've lost through the times that a lot of these states individually governed have been dealing with this issue. So when I see guys that are going into a billion dollar bubble, and are getting food delivered to them, that have beds to sleep in, you can't complain about that. not why you're making millions of dollars, not why your employer is going through drastic measures to protect you while they're still paying you, when that's not the case for everyday, real working Americans. That bothers me. That bothers me. Now, I don't know if individual teams and their PRs, their PR team, public relations teams are working with these guys, but they have to. The league has to. Because some of this stuff just leaking out and guys just having a lot of free time and just posting this stuff, it's not the right look for the league right now. Not while they're trying to focus on finishing the season and allowing a lot of other players to earn the amount of money that they're able to earn. It's tone deaf. It's tone deaf.
Well, this is the entire situation with social media in general. Social media, for the most part, is tone deaf. And this is what happens when your sport in the NBA, I think more than any other one, they are very good at marketing their players on social media. The most popular social media accounts, mostly they come from, there's a few that come from NFL players, not many from baseball players, but a majority do come from the NBA, and they do gain a massive following. Guys like, you know, in baseball, you got Blake Snell, who does the little Twitch streams. There's a ton of NBA players who do that. And so anything that they do or post right now, if they're saying they're all kind of, if they feel like they deserve any better, of course it's going to sound tone deaf. And what Jay Williams mentioned, though, is saying that it's a $1 billion bubble. And I think that's my biggest question now is Brian Windhorst mentioned that it was only, not only, but compared to $1 billion, it was $150 million. And they were spending $1.5 million a day getting this thing up and running. And I think that's what the food kind of spoke to. I think that them serving whatever you may think about the food, it didn't look expensive by any means and totally okay. But I think that just shows where the NBA is, because if the NBA wanted to, they would serve them, you know, these first class five star meals that they feel like they deserve. But the NBA is just in a kind of difficult spot right now. They don't want to overspend on anything, not during a pandemic, not during this time. But what Jay Williams is saying is right. You know, it's because what we do on social media is, and this, I believe this with any sort of post, is there's always an underlying theme to it. You know, you get people on Twitter who just share videos. They're not their own videos. They might credit the other person by, you know, tagging them at the bottom in very small print where no one really looks. They're just looking at the big caption with the video. And then you look at the comments in the video. These people always have something to plug. There's always something. Go to my SoundCloud, go to my whatever. And that one's okay. But there are other ones where posts are just craving attention. Ones where you're kind of trying to make people feel bad for you in a way. You know, it was like that. It's like when you were in elementary school or even, you know, at high school, junior high, all that, college, whatever. But mostly elementary school is when I remember this actually happening. But you would get those people in the class who would do some sort of project, who would, they'd write a paper, I don't know, just they do something and they do it real well, and they would go on to say, no, mine sucks. If they're showing their own project to you, they're like, well, mine sucks, mine isn't any good. And it turns out to be the best one. It's just because they were trying to get some sort of sympathy from you. They're trying to think, oh man, this guy's not that cool. This person's not that cool to where, you know, they have this good project. You know, it kind of reminds me of that whenever we're going on social media. So when these guys are posting these sort of things, I don't know if they're trying to make people feel bad for them, make people feel sympathy for them, but it does come off a little bit tone deaf. And they're not thinking about that. They're also just thinking that they're having fun with it, you know? They really are, and they do know all eyes are on them. I think that's got to be the most important part. From the 925 on the Chill and Auto Body text line, 888-957-9570. The best part about this bubble are the videos players are posting of them fishing. These guys get so excited, and it's like they've never seen a bass before. If you've never been fishing, it's pretty exhilarating catching your first fish. Then you go out again, then you don't catch any. That's the worst feeling in the world. And the one of the few times that I went fishing, I've been, I think, probably five or six. And for the most part, you know, you catch them. You go to, like, there was a time when I went to Monterey, and you went to basically a hotbed of fish, and you were given a limit of catching 10, and then you just had to throw them back in the water. But there are other times where you might go, I don't know, on a vacation, and that vacation would include a fishing trip, and you could be grouped up with someone else, and this happened to me personally, but I was in, as I'm talking about first world problems, I was in Hawaii and went on one of those, you know, fishing tours or whatever, didn't catch anything. And the kid who was, couldn't have been older than 10, he got this big ass fish, and I had nothing to show for it. There is no worse feeling in the world than that. yeah, there are. There are plenty of worse feelings, but I remember at that time being angry. How could I not catch any fish where that 10-year-old could? But I get it. I get it. It's crazy that they banned J.R. Smith's Instagram live because that he was revealing too much. Like, what? Don't they want this to be as open as possible? Don't they want the people to get a glimpse of what is going on with their favorite athletes as they have them in this bubble? Because really, they're just sequestered to the corner of the United States when it could be when it is a nationwide sport. I mean, I don't know why they would ban J.R. Smith for revealing too much, but then they let Myers Leonard and J.J. Redick have a shotgun and beers competition through Instagram Live, which is totally fine. Nothing wrong with that either. But why are you banning J.R. Smith's Instagram? That's got to be the biggest mistake that the NBA's made so far. Because really, they've been okay so far. Health and safety protocols, getting this up and running, the fact that it looks like it's actually going to happen by the end of the month, they deserve all the credit in the world. So the biggest mistake that they've made is banning J.R. Smith from Instagram Live. That's what we've come to the conclusion of during this segment, I think. I think it's been a good one. I think it's a healing process for all of us. Okay, coming up, Buster Posey. Now, he opted out of the 2020 season on Friday. I just wanted to give some of my thoughts on that and also play a little more sound from that Zoom conference because I don't think that that many people were many people heard the entirety of what he had to say. So it's I think it's very interesting. Buccaneers left tackle Donovan Smith. He posted an Instagram post to the NFL and the NFLPA, and he essentially listed off all the risks and the concerns that he has for playing during in the NFL season during a pandemic. And so I want to read that statement off to you, and I want to know from you, 888-957-9570. Do you think that the reaction will be different with football players than the reaction has been to baseball and basketball players who opt out of the season? Do you think it's going to be the same with NFL players? Do you think that fans are going to just, you know, fans for the most part have been cordial, you know? Totally get it. If you want to opt out of the season, go ahead. But also, there is that fan base who thinks that every player needs to play because of the amount of money that they are making. But I do wonder if NFL fans will react differently to a player saying something like this. And not only is he a left tackle, but he's a left tackle for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay? The blind side of a guy that the NFL, more than anyone, wants to be protected, and that's Tom Brady. So I'll get to those comments. Buster Posey, plus Bucky Brooks, had something on Raheem Mostert, and he echoed, and he's incredibly smart, and he's a, you know, he'll be a smarter football mind than I'll ever be. But he also echoed something that a lot of the fans are saying, and that's my biggest question when it comes to Raheem Mostert. That's coming up. Stephen Langford in on the pregame show, 95.7 The Game.
Now,
Now back to the pregame show on 95.7 The Game. Here's Stephen Langford.
Today is the day. If you submitted your top 10 athletes in Bay Area history, if you submitted that list to 957thegame.radio.com, this is your week. This is the list that matters, in my opinion. This is the one, this is the definitive list, what we're going to come up with on Friday. And it's going to be the fan vote. That's what it's all about. So starting today at 8:30, we are going to be releasing number 10 on the top 10 list. Now it's up to you. It was you, the fans, who voted. Closing voting closed on Friday. The poll was closed at 5 p.m. on Friday. And so starting at 8:30 and 3:30 today, we're going to be revealing number 10 on the list, then number 9 at 3:30, and then so on and so forth. Tuesday, 8:30, we're revealing number 8, 3:30, number 7. You get the picture. So we're going to be doing that all week. And I thought about this, and I want to get to these comments from Buccaneers left tackle Donovan Smith in a second. But something I was thinking about was the parameters that we set on these top 10 lists. It was very vague. Okay, we just said had to play in the Bay Area. Really, that's essentially that was it. We didn't have anything else. We didn't say whether it had to be part of a team sport. And didn't have to say whether it would be, whether they could just participate at Cal, whatever. We didn't really give much on that. And I think that left a lot open to interpretation. So I had a guy in mind, and this is a dude who, you know what, let me even pull up his college stats here, because this guy, when he was playing in the Bay Area, as I need to pull up, wherever his statistics are, but he was Pac-12 Offensive Player of the Year at his time, and he was the top quarterback in the country. But I'm surprised that Andrew Luck didn't make anyone's list. Andrew Luck playing at Stanford, hell, I mean, even Christian McCaffrey. But Andrew Luck was a household name in college when he was playing. And I remember going to Stanford and them selling jerseys with the number 12 on them. Didn't have Luck on the back, but they had number 12 on them. That's how big that he was. I was surprised that I didn't see any Andrew Luck suggestions. I mean, I didn't expect them to be on anyone's list here, because, you know, top 10 greatest athletes in Bay Area history, there's a lot of there's a lot of older players that you want to pay respects to. But I think Andrew Luck could have been a very viable candidate. Did you guys vote for Andrew Luck? We will all find out today, starting at 8:30 with Joe Lowe and Dibs. All right, so Donovan Smith, he is the left tackle for the Buccaneers. And he has got, and I'm talking from the NFL's perspective here. This is how the NFL is thinking this. But Donovan Smith being the left tackle for the Buccaneers is one of the most important jobs in the NFL's eyes. Why is that? Because you are protecting the blind side of Tom Brady. They want Tom Brady to play. Tom Brady on the Buccaneers, how they're going to do with Rob Gronkowski, how he's going to do with Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I don't know what's going to happen with the run game. There's still some question marks there, which is why I have a tough time putting them number 9 on my all-around NFL teams, as NFL.com did. But Tom Brady, protecting him is one of the most important jobs in the NFL's eyes to football. And Donovan Smith had this to say. To whom it may concern, this is from his Instagram. With the start of the 2020 NFL season fast approaching, many thoughts and questions roam my mind, as I'm sure it does for many of my fellow coworkers across the league. Coworkers in quotes. The unfortunate events of the COVID-19 pandemic have put a halt to a lot of things. Football is not one. To continue discussing the many unknowns, in all caps, do not give me the comfort. Risking my health as well as my family's health does not seem like a risk worth taking. With my first child due in 3 weeks, I can't help but think about how will I be able to go to work and take proper precautions around 80-plus people every day, to then to go home to be with my newborn daughter. How can a sport that requires physical contact on every snap and transferal of all types of bodily fluid every single play practice safe social distancing? How can I make sure that I don't bring COVID-19 back to my household? Yes, we can get tested every day, but if it takes 24 hours to get my results, how can I know each day that I am not spreading this virus or contracting it? The reoccurring issue here is how. There are too many hows that have yet to be answered to ease player concerns and ensure the safety of not only myself, but also my family. I just can't imagine how the game will be the same during these unprecedented times. Now, to hear that 35% of my paycheck may be withheld while we are out sacrificing our health and wellness for the joy and entertainment of everyone else who will be safe at home in front of their TVs, something isn't right here. That should at least warrant a pay raise due to the risk, not a cut. I am not a lab rat or guinea pig to test theories on. I am a man, a son, brother, soon to be father, and I deserve to be safe at work. That was Donovan Smith. That was Buccaneers left tackle Donovan Smith on his Instagram earlier this weekend. So my question is to you, 888-957-9570, what is your reaction to that? I'll assume a majority of you have the reasonable stance that, look, if you feel like you are at, I mean, you see the details here. First child due in 3 weeks. I mean, that's one of them. And his the way he puts it, where you're really going to be you're a left tackle. So your hands are going to be all over who is lining up across from you. And every single play, you can't practice social distancing. You do. What are they going to do? The jersey thing at the end of the game where they're not letting the players swap the jerseys. It's like, that's pretty hypocritical. It's like if they're already playing an entire game, it's not like the jersey thing is going to make any difference. But I do wonder if NFL fans are going to have that same reaction, say, in a couple of months when this sort of stuff continues to be a little more common. Because the NBA and the MLB have both been very forthright in letting players opt out of the season, doing whatever they need to do. You know, you've had multiple cases in baseball where players are just like, look, I got more pressing issues that I got to deal with than playing in a season right now. I don't need to do that. And you have Buster Posey, who I'll get to in a second. He mentioned he's opting out of the 2020 season because of the because he adopted two girls who were born prematurely. So there are certain reasons people have to not playing in the season. But for me, NFL fans can be rabid, man. Really can. NFL fans can be just, they're very focused on their team. And I wonder what the reaction is of Buccaneers fans right now as they're reading that from the guy who's supposed to protect the savior of their team in Tampa Bay, the one who's supposed to bring them back to the playoffs, the thing that Jameis Winston nor Ryan Fitzpatrick could ever do. And for the 650 on the Chill Not a Body text line, 100% agree with them, family over everything. And I'm on that side as well. There's just so many, you know, there are so many people who feel that Donovan Smith maybe needs to, you know, compare himself to grocery store workers or just any of these. That's the one that pops up the most. And I'm on board with that, too. But this is the situation that Donovan Smith himself is in. And I think the thing that did it was the 35%. Now, what he was talking about there is the NFL, they had a call with the owners and they just came to an agreement that they want to take 35% of the players' salaries and put it in escrow. So save it for later. I don't think some players are okay with that. And Donovan Smith, he's expressing some concerns that are very real here. And I think that some people are going to come out and say, look, he needs to be more self-aware. Look at what he's dealing with compared to what a lot of other people are dealing with. But I also think that that's an underlying issue that kind of plagues the sports fan along with the sports athlete but the sports fan with the athlete. And that is, we essentially don't have much sympathy for them because they are making so much money and playing I'm going to try and get this thing that Lowe says correctly, but playing a kid's game for a kid's or for a king's ransom, a kid's game for a king's ransom. I think I got that right. But the risks are there. And I mean, with having a child that's due in 3 weeks, what else is he supposed to do? You know, I'd much rather a player speak out about this sort of thing. And it takes guts, by the way. It's not easy to do this. I'll get to the sound from Buster Posey in just a second. He could barely look at the camera. But what Donovan Smith is saying here is very reasonable. And it's just there are some fans out there who aren't going to be okay with that because of what everyone else is going through right now compared to, you know, NFL players. Just some thoughts on that. I mean, I just wanted everyone to hear that at least. You can have a take on it all you want. It still remains to be seen. Don't know if the 35% on the salary is going to go into escrow. Don't know if that's going to go through. The NFL and the NFLPA still need to come to an agreement on everything because the NFL PA president, he was J.C. Tretter was his name, was not okay with the health and safety protocols that the NFL has presented so far. So there's a lot that remains to be seen within the NFL season, but this is one of the first guys who has really gone into depth as to why he wouldn't feel comfortable playing during this season. From the 408, if he does not want to play, that's his choice, but to say he deserves a raise is ridiculous. He's making millions of dollars to play football. We go to work every day in hospitals. We don't get a raise. We're on the front line. 35% of his salary in escrow. Not that he's going to get it. It's just going to be held out. He should stop crying. If he doesn't want to play, I have no problem with him not playing. But the other parts of his statement are ridiculous. I will say it is not financially possible to give anyone a raise during this pandemic. That's why Raheem Mostert's timing was so odd on this, and unfortunate. I'd like to think that Raheem Mostert is a relatively laid-back, team-first sort of dude. But when his agent told him, look, if you're going to get your money, this is the time that you got to get your money, he probably did not want to do it during this time. But instead, that's what he had to do, essentially, or else he was never going to get another big pay raise because after this season, who knows what could happen there. But I totally get where you're coming from on the raise thing, because giving a raise to anybody in a pandemic right now would be pretty brutal. Buster Posey, he made this announcement. I was off the air, but he did this a few hours afterwards, and I just wanted to play the announcement for you. Buster Posey announcing that he's opting out of the 2020 MLB season.
It's been mentioned how I've missed several practices over the last week, and I want to address that. A week ago today, identical twin girls were born that my wife and I are adopting, and the adoption actually became official yesterday afternoon. And my wife, myself, and our older children are just overwhelmed with joy to welcome them to our family, to love them unconditionally, just share life with them. The twins were born prematurely. Thank God they are doing really well, but they're going to have to be in the NICU for quite some time. And after much discussion with my wife and doctors, and a decision that I've wrestled with quite a bit since I knew that this adoption was on the table, I've decided to opt out of the 2020 baseball season. We feel this is the best decision for these babies and for our family as well.
And Buster Posey continued, and he was asked about what he'll miss this season and what's to come in the future.
Look, there's no question, especially once games start up, this is going to be hard for me. So I have had a little bit of time to think about that. And honestly, as a baseball player, we're kind of – I'm not sure if all professional athletes are wired the same way or not, but there's such a satisfaction in going out and trying to accomplish something with a group of guys that become your friends over the course of a year or multiple years. And whether that, you know, that goal is reached or not, by the end of it, there's satisfaction in knowing that you really put everything into it. And I think I'm going to miss that the most is not having that challenge of overcoming hurdles and obstacles and being able to celebrate the good times and being able to share some of the down times. But and definitely you know, hopeful and know I'll keep my body in shape and be ready to go next year.
So that was Buster Posey. And when he said, keep my body in shape come next year, when you have a player like that who is proven, whose legacy has essentially already been cemented, like I was imagining before that press conference was happening and they said Buster Posey is meeting with the media on a private Zoom call here, I thought, wow, he could announce his retirement. I wasn't saying he was going to. It's not like I had a hot take, but I did think that it was going to be an option. And I started thinking overall about Buster Posey and the legacy that he's had, not only in the Bay Area, but also in Major League Baseball. And when it comes to guys like that, guys who personally, I think he is a Hall of Famer. I think it's a no-brainer type of thing. One of two National League MVPs in the history of baseball at the catcher position. One of five if you total up everything in the American League. But the Hall of Fame doesn't do a good job of voting in catchers anyway. Thurman Munson is one of the busts, is what I found out over the weekend, because his numbers are being compared a lot to Thurman Munson's, and he's always on the lists, you know, the top 10 draft busts in baseball history, or the top 10 Hall of Fame snubs in baseball history. But I do think that he is a Hall of Famer, and that's a different discussion for another day. So in that sense, I think it could have been so easy for a guy like Buster Posey to just essentially say, I don't want to play this season because of COVID. And, you know, he might not necessarily say, or he might not necessarily be all that scared of COVID, but he just wanted to take a break for a season because it's a 60-game season. He knows his team's not doing much. He could have easily done that. But beforehand, before all this went down, you know, before he had all these plans and everything and all these other reasons and you know, adopting two born girls who were born premature, I think that he could have easily just said, had all that not even happened, he could have easily just opted out of the season. I personally would have been okay with it. And he could have just taken a year off, taken a break, maybe tried to get his swing back, get some speed on the bat again. So he could have easily done that, but he wouldn't have had, you know, the adoption not happen. And I think it speaks a lot to Buster Posey. I think it really does. And the cool thing about Posey and why we have such an affinity towards him, why we have such an affinity towards Steph, and you wonder these questions a lot, right? But with that, with Buster, with Steph, it's kind of the same effect that Kobe had in LA, in that we have watched these dudes since they were young, and we've watched them grow into champions. Guys who have won MVP awards. Guys who have won championships, maybe not winning finals MVP or World Series MVP, guys who have had families. You know, we've legitimately watched them grow into these influential adults. And for me, being 27 years old and watching Steph, who was one of the main reasons that I really started to pay attention to Warrior basketball. When I was younger, you know, the We Believe era was always on, but I wasn't super deep into the team. But when Steph got drafted, it was really after that 2008-2009 season. That's when I really started to pay attention to everything surrounding basketball. So Steph has been one of my favorite players. Buster Posey, a guy who we went to San Jose just to watch him. It was the only reason we wanted to go to the San Jose Giants game was to watch Buster Posey, and seeing him grow into who he is today, it's just been really cool to witness. And that's why we have an affinity towards these guys, because we literally watched them grow into from boys to men, really. Good band. But that's, you know, I think that that's why we love Buster Posey so much here. I think some people are a little afraid to call it homerism if they think he should be in the Hall of Fame, but that's just my belief. And what he's doing ultimately, you know, every reasonable understanding in the world. From the 209 on the Chilton Autobody text line, Bruce Arians' motto in Arizona was next man up. That's what'll happen in Tampa. Look, if the left tackle deserves to or feels like he wants to opt out, then it's fine. But the next man up, when it comes to the left tackle position, it's a tough one to replace. Really tough one to replace. Tristan Wirfs is going to be there. That was their first round pick. That's going to be an interesting one. But, you know, I wonder what the reaction will be when the season actually starts to commence, training camps go, and players possibly start opting out. So the reaction to that going to be very interesting. A little more tomorrow on the NFL. If I'm not mistaken, the NFL and the NFLPA, they have a call tonight. So they're meeting there, or at least today, whatever it is. But they're meeting today, and they're going to talk about the return to football. So we're going to have some news for you on that a little bit tomorrow. And I'm still trying to think of an analogy for baseball to compare that Masvidal and Usman fight to, because the reaction is it was a boring fight. It was a boring fight. No, Usman had a plan, and he executed said plan. And the baseball analogy that I thought of, it was, you know, it was like watching a pitcher's duel. You know, the traditionalists love it. Those who understand baseball, there are regular baseball fans who want to see some home runs, which is a very regular thing. In the UFC, you want to see guys throw punches. You didn't see much of that in Masvidal versus Usman. In the NFL, a low-scoring game normally means that it was a good defensive matchup. Some people don't appreciate it like they should. And I'm not saying that I'm some sort of MMA aficionado, but I know the difference between a bad fight and a good fight. And I'm not saying it was great, but I didn't think it was bad. I was on the opposite side of what everyone thought. All right, Nick Friedel coming up at 7:30, Fred Smoot at 8 o'clock, and Dave Fleming at 8:45. Joe Lowe and Dibs coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.